Bro, Uber and ride shares, those jobs have gone up 50%, dog. So we're not bringing in doctors, we're not bringing in engineers, we're not bringing in people who could actually build the country up. We're bringing in Uber drivers, dog. We have enough Uber drivers, all right?
So what's your advice to Players Play, the podcast, and what's your advice to Cass?
I don't have no advice to Players Play. I hope their podcast crashes and burns. However, to Cass, you are a beautiful woman. You have an amazing spirit. And you're Fab Vibes Cartel. So greatness is in your blood. You got this, sister. We're all rooting for you. You know what I mean? Keep going, baby.
Wayne had an unmatched run, a fellow Libra as well.
Oh, word, eh?
Yeah, Lil Wayne is a Libra.
Shout out Wayne, bro.
Shout out us, because we had actually a pretty big week on the channel.
Oh, yeah, I'd say the biggest podcast of that week
in the whole city, for sure.
Yeah, facts.
So for those joining us, we got actually a lot of new subscribers from the City Boy JJ and Friends interview about the Longtendo situation.
Shout out to y'all.
Shout out to everyone involved and not involved.
Exactly. And yeah, make sure you like, subscribe as you're talking about it. Yeah. I already know while going.
Yeah. But what I found interesting was the aftermath of that interview. I made a couple clips, and man, the comment section, they are warring in there.
It's hilarious because, like, after the interview, I'm like, okay, nice. They're able to clear the air. It's done here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're good, bro. The comments, I feel like, I don't want to say they made it worse, but like, now there's even more discourse, and like, people are like analyzing every single thing they said, bro.
Yeah, even the tone, the body language, they're like, look how uncomfortable they are. Like, people will write a narrative and just run with it.
They have me second guessing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, well, I have a conspiracy mind, though, you know, so.
Yeah, real talk, because you meet them in person, they're all good dudes.
Exactly.
And they're genuine. Then you see what people say about them online, you're like, whoa, wait, like, is this the same person that they're talking about? And you realize there's such a disconnect between reality and, I guess, the digital realm or the internet, right?
Just know the digital realm is going to be reality, bro.
Are you talking about the Ray-Bans?
Oh, yeah, even all that too, bro.
Yo, you've been talking about the Ray-Bans like early. I feel like you're kind of on it before it becomes the norm.
Yeah, because even when the first like artificial, like the first AI glasses, like the Google Glass type.
Yeah.
It was super ugly. You know what I mean?
Guy had his Wild Wings in the shot the whole time. Like,
respect.
Shout out to Wild Wings for that buy one, get one free, £1 with fries.
Yo, I see Wash just like doing mirror gang signs in the background. I'm like, what is he trying to tell me? Okay, but
yeah, I thought he was threatening it. No, I'm joking.
So the Google Glass came out,
yeah.
Super ugly, but I seen the vision. I'm like, once they get this down, because we already have nanotechnology, they even have smaller technology than nanotechnology. It's getting crazy, bro. So like, they're implementing it to the new Ray-Ban, so now it's fashionable. So be wearing glasses like these, taking pictures. It's gonna be like augmented reality. So like, I'm chilling, but I could still reply to messages and do it. Yeah, it's dope.
That'll be fun, especially with the camera attached to it. The potential for content with glasses in terms of hidden pranks or like even undercover missions. It's almost like, do you remember Ned's Declassified, how Cookie had that thing that he would throw over his glasses and then he would just start computing stuff with his eyes?
That's sick.
That's pretty much what it is, right? How many years from now do you think it is until we see people walking around casually with these Ray-Bans that have augmented reality?
I'd say 5 years max.
Oh, so you're saying it's right around the corner.
Yeah, because we already see like either the super techies with it or like the super creeps with it, you know what I mean? Like the guys that be trying to take pictures of Gyaldem without Gyaldem knowing, but other than that, you know?
I feel you. But yo, speaking of all this digital realm and technological advancement, how come DJs have not been replaced yet?
That's a good... Well, I don't think they have the algorithm ready to do that, because like to get a robot to do a clean mix for the whole night and to play songs that everybody wants to hear, it's still very intricate. You know what I mean? Like it's such an intricate, like it's hard to replicate that. You know what I mean? Hmm. Even like new and upcoming DJs, you could kind of tell that they're amateurs, because like to get that experienced DJ is just so hard to replicate, bro.
Hmm. So you don't think that there's any time in the foreseeable future where AI will be able to kind of have that blending ability that a regular DJ has?
I can see a future where like all the songs, because right now there are songs where like it doesn't start right on the one beat, you know what I mean? But I can see a future where like all songs are kind of like generic and so like anybody can mix them, you know what I mean? And also like they could kind of desensitize people to like want to like not care about transitions anymore, because with Spotify and stuff, they have like auto mix features where the songs blend into each other.
Yeah.
So I feel like eventually if all clubs start adapting this thing, we're like, oh, we're just auto blending. Then like eventually if it becomes the norm, then like that's it, you know?
So you don't think there'll be a need for DJs at that point? I still feel like no matter what, I think there will be DJs or some form of DJing, even if it's supplied with or like assisted by AI technology. Like you'll still have a music curator. You'll still have some type of host or MC. I mean, you could get a robot for that too, though.
Yeah. And like a lot of these DJs are not creative. They're not doing anything that cannot, like a robot can't do. You know what I mean? Like
they're just playing regular songs
at regular pace. Nothing's creative, you know what I mean? Like, the remixes are so it's just like, yeah, what they're doing could definitely be replicated, and it's nothing special, you know? Like, I feel like if man's actually tried to think outside the box and keep that flowing, but also, like, it's kind of hard for DJs to do that, because there's no resources for DJs to be creative these days, you know what I mean? Like, they're literally going for the cheapest option, so, like, the guy who just started DJing in his bedroom, who's only charging $50, is going to get a lot of the gigs, because a lot of promoters don't want to pay $300, $400, $500 to four DJs one night, you know?
Mm-hmm. I feel like unless you're a DJ that sells tickets to your event, like people are coming to see you, unless you're that type of DJ, your value in terms of how much money you make by them paying you, like how much you're making for the establishment, I feel like it's hard to determine.
Exactly.
Because it's like people are going to come to this restaurant or bar or event anyways, and you're kind of just supplying the vibe. But can you say that it's worth it to pay a DJ $1,000, for example, when they're not really going to bring in that much money or more as a DJ?
$1,000 is crazy, but also like, okay, what is livable for a DJ and what's not? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like all DJs have to work side jobs because they can't live off their residency or whatever. You know what I mean? And then like at that point, is this a job or like I don't know. I just feel like what's the point of doing it if you also have to like work at the hospital or you have to like waitress or some, you know?
I guess, but it could be a good source of like supplementary income where like it helps you and it's also something that you enjoy doing. So instead of your 9-to-5 being your sole income flow, you have another income flow, you know? So maybe there are some DJs that do that, but I think if you're going to be a DJ, you might as well go balls to the wall and just see how far you can take it. You know what I'm saying? No diddy.
Yeah, but I feel like you have to have a social media presence or something if you want to like get far, you know what I mean? Like all the DJs, especially in Toronto that are getting booked, they all have a name type where like you see this name on the flyer and then you kind of get like a feeling of like what they represent, you know?
Yeah. So who would you say are those top five DJs in Toronto where when you see their name on a poster, it's like, yo, I gotta go.
Top five. I can't say a top five generally, but in the different factions, I would say like downtown, you'll see mans like DJ Rennie. He is super lit right now. I'm trying to think of like some other downtown DJs. Like Yeah, okay. Downtown, Rennie's the guy. You know what I mean?
Which is one. I'm talking about like.
But I'm gonna say like there's other genres. Like for dancehall, there's like Black's Thunder Place. You know what I mean? Steenie, Black Reaction, those kind of guys. Like when you put the name on the flyer, you kind of they have their brand. You know, for soca, there's guys like Dr. J, Jester. He's older though, and then like Flex got next for like the younger guys. But I'd say for every faction, there's like different guys. You know.
Okay, and where do you feel like you fit in within those factions? Are you like a new lane where it's like new school but not new school dance hall?
The thing, I feel like I don't fit in, and that's what like makes me very peculiar, you know, like, because yeah, I'm like, even in high school I was always the kid that like I never sat at one table, you know. I could go chill with the cool kids, then I'd be with the nerds, and then I'd be chilling with like the emos and, you know, just sad and depressed off life. So like I feel like it's the same with DJing. I go downtown and I'd be with 42 and shit at apartment 200, and then I'd be at the dance hall parties. I don't really go to the super hardcore dance hall parties though, because I'd be shooting, you know. But also like I'd be at the soca fets, like, so I feel like I'm a social butterfly in the DJ realm, you know. But I wouldn't say I'm top three in any space though.
Maybe what if it's like the TikTok category?
Yeah, I would say when it comes to social media, then I'm definitely up there with the guys. Oh, I'm up there with the guys. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man, that is jokes, bro.
Nah, I rate it. And even for me, you know, I feel like within the wedding DJ game, I'm still new, but I feel like I'm carving a lane for myself, because the issue with these wedding DJs is that they do it for like 10, 20 years, these guys. So they're already familiar. People have already seen these guys at other weddings. So when they see a new, fresh face, it's like, you know, it's refreshing, because you get a new style. You're like, oh, it's not this DJ again, exactly. You know? So you're right. I think it is about building your name, even, you know, as an immigrant. And speaking of immigration, we were speaking off air and you revealed this one statistic to me that was a little bit like, it shook me though. I'm like, okay, we do have to talk about it.
Well, because as of late, I'm seeing a lot of discourse where it's like, oh, all these Indian people are coming into Canada. Canada is the new India, blah, blah, blah type. And like, some people are very upset about it. And other people are like, oh no, you're being racist. Stop. Like, don't be mad at them, blah, blah, blah. And like, yes, it is true. Don't be mad at them. But the current regime we are under, because it's been in office for like 10 years.
That's a regime.
You know what I mean? Like, so basically they are trying to get all of these new people into Canada, these new voters eventually that they could convert them into. In the past 2 years, maybe 3 years, there has been like a million plus immigrants coming into Canada, which we welcome. Canada has been one of the countries that have been the most welcoming, most diverse, you know what I mean? Most culturally like accepting. However, if we're bringing in a million people a year, are we building enough houses to shelter these people? Are we creating enough jobs where it's not going to take jobs away from the Canadians that have been living here and dedicating all their lives, tax dollars, etc.? Are we putting forth the resources to actually accommodate a million plus extra, you know what I mean? Like, that is a lot, broski. And it's not like they're going to Timmins. It's not like they're going to Yellowknife. None of it. You know what I mean? They're going to Brampton. And now, like, they're just, okay, GTA, they're just all trying to fit in the GTA, broski. And if you look at the renting market, bro, you're seeing man's renting out rooms, four beds in the room, dog. What is happening out here, bro? Like, the economy is going to and like, I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, but there's just all these problems conflated into one, and people are frustrated. If you look at, bro, when I was 16 years old, worse than that, when I was 15 years old, I got my first job, dog. And it has been so easy for me to get a job since then. But as I look at the youth them now, they are struggling to find employment, bro. Young adults struggling to find employment, bro. And like, if we're bringing in, this is where I get crazy, bro. Like, hold on, where's my red hat? You know what I mean? Because we're about to get real conservative right now. Bro, if we're looking at the people we're bringing in, these are not quality people. If you look at the United States of America, the top demographic of immigrants that are like making money and adding to the economy are Indian people. So the best Indian people are going to the States. They're starting companies. The top companies in the States, a lot of them are like owned CEO Indian people. Shout out to them. But the other guys that can't get to the States, you know where they're going, broski? They're going to Brampton. And don't say, don't say I'm being racist, bro. Because if you look at the statistics, bro, Uber and ride shares, those jobs have gone up 50%, dog. So we're not bringing in doctors. We're not bringing in engineers. We're not bringing in people who could actually, you know, build the country up. We're bringing in Uber drivers, dog. We have enough Uber drivers, all right? You know what I mean? The last time I ordered some Uber Eats, dog, the nigga couldn't speak English. He dropped my food to the wrong guy. I'm trying to call him. He thinks I'm trying to finesse him. I gave you food, brother. I gave you food. I promise you, you did not give me the food, guy. Smaz doesn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's such, I'm going on a tangent, but please listen to the stats I gave earlier. Don't say I'm cheesed over an Uber Eats order.
Okay. To give you some pushback, because.
Pause.
Nah, I got to push back on this. Yeah, pause. No, 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 no. But to offer some pushback, in response to what you were saying, a lot of these people who are coming here working as Uber drivers or different types of jobs in that nature, they were originally engineers, doctors, lawyers back home. And we haven't really configured like this conversion system yet for education. But a lot of them are very qualified and intelligent people back home.
When we say a lot, what are the numbers we're talking about, bro? Because most of these are students under student visas. But when you check what course they're coming for business. Some random, like, they're just looking for any excuse to get in the country, bro. There are literal courses in India. Mm. Courses where they're teaching mans how to exactly get into Canada, bro. Brampton is like the hottest thing in India, broski. Like, they know Brampton more than they know Toronto because they know that is the hub, fam.
That's where we go.
That's the hub, you know what I mean? And like, again, I have no problem with Indian people, bro. When I was in grade 7, I had my Indian girl and we did duff things. However,
grade 7 is wild.
However, when you look at the country as a whole, we don't want to ruin our economy. We don't want to ruin our housing market just so we could get more voters for Trudeau and them. You know what I mean? Like the World Economic Forum, one of those, basically they have a plan. Apparently, check this up for yourself, where they want there to be like 100 million Canadians by like, I think it's like 2120, something like that. By the year 2100, they want there to be 100 million Canadians, bro. Like, they want this to be a completely new country, dog. They're building up smart cities and shit. Even if you go out to Windsor, you could see the smart cities, bro, where, like, everything is automated, fam. Fingerprint to enter the home, fingerprint to enter the job. Like, y'all keep thinking the tinfoil hats are crazy, but slowly but surely, everything is unraveling. Literally, bro. Look at the economy right now.
But don't you think not only historically, but even currently, our economy depends on the labor of immigrants? A lot of the jobs that Canadians don't want to work, or jobs that maybe we would have reserved for part-time students back in the day, are now being worked by like students, like international students or new immigrants, right? So it's always been the case that immigrants have built up this country. So it isn't really different right now. It just escalated.
You're saying they're taking jobs that we don't want to work? Broski, you know how many people I know are trying to apply to Tim Hortons right now and them can't get in, bro? Like, imagine all the kids that need their hours and like these jobs that like 30, 40, 50-year-old men are taking are reserved for the 16-year-old Giel to get her experience to go onto the world, bro.
I understand that. And it has historically been like that, where you could get a part-time job in grade 10, 11, 12, give you a little extra pocket money. You could save up for school or whatever you have to do. So I do agree that they have taken those jobs away from Canadians. However, from a managerial perspective, where if you're a franchise owner, you're going to have more stability and more reliability with the full-time international student versus the part-time 16-year-old high school kid where this is their first job. You know what I'm saying? Like, now you're actually dealing with adults who need this job, who won't snake you. It's like they actually need this job. Teenagers, bro, they be stealing donuts, stealing nuggets from McDonald's. Like, yo, I've heard crazy stories of mans in high school when they got their job at McDonald's. They were wilding, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like for an owner, it's a little more reassuring to hire an international student. And they get rebates.
I'd rather the teenager steal some nuggets than the Indian man who's on the counter with no socks and his feet out. You know what I mean? He's stirring the chili and he's taking the lettuce with one foot. You know what I mean? Stretching it over. Like, broski, what are we talking about? I'm not dissing the franchise owners.
When have you ever seen that?
Yo, there's videos of the man in Tim Hortons, bro. The worker, he's there. No, it's Subway. The worker is there. Bro, he's sitting cross-legged like this on the counter, fam. No socks on, bro. The food is right here lined up and this guy's taking orders on some Dalai Lama, bro. I don't know what's going on, fam. Man was yoga meditating. I don't know what's happening. But what I was going to say, I'm not dissing the franchise owners. I'm saying that the government is letting these people in. So now these franchise owners have the option to go for like the cheapest, you know what I mean? Like
safest option for them.
Lowest risk, but also like long term, we see the effects that is happening, bro.
So what do you suggest as an alternative or as a solution to the immigration crisis that we're facing right now? Do we just stop letting them in? Do we start sending people back? Like, how do we determine how to move forward from here? Because they're already here.
I feel like we have to start designating zones where we send these.
Oh, my God.
That well, I designated zones in the sense of like, okay,
segregation.
No. Toronto is full. Brampton is full. Like these places that everybody wants to go to is like, it's super packed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure, you could come to the country, but like, why don't you go here? You love Canada, right? Or do you only love Brampton because all your cousins and shit are there? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to come to Canada or do you want to come to Brampton? Let us know.
That got deep. So I was waiting. Yo, I thought I was listening to a white dude talk first. I'm not going. I'm not joking.
Yo, you know what I mean? I had to put my conservative cap on real quick. You know,
like, I knew you were a patriot.
And like, yo, I never, bro, this is gonna sound crazy, but like, I never ever would have thought like I would have understood how like a Canadian born person felt. You know what I mean? Until like I'm seeing what's happening to the country, I'm like, wait, like, this is not the Canada I remember. And I'm not saying things aren't supposed to change, but change for the better. You know what I mean? Like, renting prices are outrageous right now. But landlords know they could do that because, yo, if you go downtown, you're getting a one-bedroom condo, breaking down the walls, turning the one-bedroom to a four-bedroom, dog. Where, like, the room is, you could fit a bed. Your one picture is like jail, man. But like, you know what I mean? You're downtown in a condo, so you're lit. But you have five roommates. Like, it's crazy. What you would normally make, like a two bands off of one bedroom, man's are making four bands. And bro,
I mean, you got to respect the capitalism that they're utilizing there. Because, yo, at the end of the day, it's your property. If you can find people who want to rent five rooms for that price each, like, I'm not going to hold that against you, you know?
If these were Canadian owners, if this was like going back to the Canadian economy, I'm for it. However, these are like Chinese nationalists and like these rich, these rich Chinese. Foreign investors from China, foreign investors from India who are buying and building these huge condos and literally getting out, literally the Canadians, you know what I mean? Like, when we're paying $2,000, you know what I mean? Like, who are we paying that to, bro? Whose money is that going into? You know, like, whose pocket is that money going into?
Okay, I want to ask you what you think about this scenario. Because one time I was in an Uber and we were talking about multiculturalism in Canada, and he suggested that one day, similar to how Brampton is predominantly Punjabi, there are going to be towns that are designated to different cultures. So now it's like, it's kind of like if you want to live amongst your people, you'll have that option. But it's going to be like, this town is like the Jamaican town where all the Jamaicans went. This town is where all the Punjabis went. This is where all the Filipinos went. He's saying he could see that happening in Canada because of how competitive the multicultural space gets, you know, because right now it's being dominated by the Punjabis, by the Indians, even though I think before, like when we were growing up, it was a healthy mix of everyone. Like my area was kind of predominantly like Filipino and Bengali a little bit, like where I live, but like the schools were Filipino. But now it's like dominated by Punjabis, I think, at least in certain areas of the GTA.
I do see what you mean, because I feel like no matter who comes to Canada, nobody assimilates to Canadian culture, bro. So like, I'm not only singling out Indian people, like when Jamaicans came to Canada, bro, it wasn't like, let's go get some poutine, eh? And syrup, eh? Like, it was like, Jamaican shop here, you know what I mean? Like when the treaties came, get your rotis and doubles, like niggas held on to their culture as they come here. They don't really assimilate to Canadian culture. So I can see, you know what I mean? We already have like Greek Town. We have like the Jamaica District. We have like Chinatown. And we already have segregated type zones in the city. Mm-hmm. So I can see that spreading out, you know?
I was going to say the difference is that Jamaica was under British rule, but so was India. So I don't know. You can't really use that as an excuse. I was going to say like the fact that Jamaican culture has been around Canada for a while, that it's almost like it's become a part of it. You know what I'm saying? And Indians have too. But I think the newer wave of the Punjabis is starting to impact the culture as well, where you're seeing more musically from them. Apparently, yeah. Like in the whole world, like Vancouver and Brampton have like the hottest Punjabi music scenes in the world.
I could definitely see that.
You know what I'm saying? Or it might be Victoria.
Wasn't the biggest rapper, Indian rapper from like Brampton or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, Sidhu Muswala.
So gave it to like Seneca or something?
Yeah, and he was like the biggest in the world, and he was right here in the GTA, and like we didn't know about it until after, kind of.
You know, sometimes I be feeling like a white man, because like I just be chilling, you know what I mean? And then I see like five Indian mans in a group, and I'm like, that's a gang right there.
But that is wild. But there's a lot of interesting things about the Sikh religion and Punjabi culture that I think Canadians can benefit from learning. I think there just has to be a mutual exchange and a willingness to learn from one another. Like, they should learn how to be Canadian, and then we should also learn aspects of their culture.
I don't really care about like them even assimilating to Canadian culture.
I do. I think it's important for people to assimilate
somewhat. What is Canadian culture?
Holding the door open for someone. Saying please and thank you.
You remember like
Tim Hortons. Hockey a little
bit. Tim Hortons is not even Canadian owned anymore.
But it's Canadian in origin.
I just feel like the only problem, they say everything should be done in, I forgot the word, but like, not too much of anything is good for nothing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Moderation so, type.
Moderation, thank you. Everything should be done in moderation. So when we're letting in a million people, yo, I don't care who they are, bro, any race, bro, a million people a year, we need to have the resources to back it up. Like, that's my only point, you know what I mean? Like, it could be a million Jamaican. I'll be like, yo, where are we putting them? You know what I mean?
All right, I agree with that.
Oh, man.
So that's our last point. You know, we didn't even do an intro. It's like, yo, they know who we are.
Oh, that's true.
You know
that's
what
true,
I'm saying? But welcome back to The Wave and the Muzzy, episode 4, I believe.
Yeah, probably.
Episode 4 or 5. I'm your host with the most, DJ Czar, a.k.a. Young Shawarma, a.k.a. The Wedding DJ, a.k.a. The Muzzy. Back at it like a crack addict with the homie.
You already know it's the waviest. I'm getting the muzziest right now. And you know, I had to put my conservative hat real quick. You know what I mean? Because, like, yo, I just be going down these YouTube rabbit holes. And then I just be getting like all these conspiracy theories and.
Yo, I wanted to ask you about something. This wasn't on our list though, but I just thought about it. So Vybz Kartel, who's your boy, he's actually dating a Turkish girl who's my girl. So, and they got their names tattooed on each other, right? And he came out with a song called Interracial.
Yeah, the song's actually 1 year old.
Oh, okay. So, but it has to do with her.
It does.
Okay, so one, how do you feel about interracial relationships? And two, do you feel like this girl's like the one for Vybz, like they're going to settle, get married type?
When it comes to interracial relationships, I personally don't care. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to tell any man how to live their life. Me personally, I only have to settle down with a black queen. Like, that's how it has to be. Try to keep the bloodline pure as possible. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't have a white child. And I'm not saying that the baby's going to be white. I'm just saying, you know?
Say a word. This guy does not want his kid looking like me.
Basically. But when it comes to Vybz Kartel, yo, this woman, like, I can only imagine being in jail for 13 years. And, like, having a shawty actually hold me down. When I need someone to call, she's always there. Always, like, yo, she moved to Jamaica to be closer to him, you know what I mean? While he was still in jail, you know? So she really held him down. And when I look at women from other races, like, many other races, they don't fall so victim to, like, this postmodern feminism, you know what I mean? Where, like, the traditional values still hold like ideal to them, you know what I mean? So like I could understand why a man would like value that.
So you're saying that you can only marry a black queen, but they don't have those values that non-black women have?
I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying a lot of them these days yo, this is about to get crazy. A lot of them these days fall for like that post modern feminism bullshit does not even include them. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them fell for the Black Lives Matter sham. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of them go to the Pride Parade. And, like, yes, you should, but, like, what parade are they having for you? You know? Like, but it's just harsh realities that a lot of people don't want to hear. Rest in peace to my Kevin Samuels.
Yeah, RIP Kevin Samuels. But that's interesting. So, I mean, for me and Natural have had conversations about this off air, about like, you know, like what type of woman, whatever. And I tell this guy, I'm like, yo, you've managed to stay black through all of history. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might be the first guy that breaks that
hell
cycle.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you end up with a white girl, yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Or whoever. So I think there is something good to be said about, you know.
And I do also want to say, if a person is mixed and they consider themselves black, they are black. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to say, oh, because you have a white mom, you're not black. You know what I mean? Like, or even vice versa. Like, I just want to set that straight for the commenters.
I hear more about if you have a white dad, you're not black. But if you have a black dad, you're black. Like, some light skins do face that dilemma.
Okay, I haven't really heard much of that, but I say either parent, like, as long as it's the one drop rule, you know? If you have black in you, you're black, you know what I mean? And I feel like that is why there was such an attack on the black family, because, and even the black man specifically, when you go back to slavery times, like, we're so hated because no matter what we touch, it turns black, you know what I mean? No matter what race we have a child with, the baby comes out black. And that is very powerful, you know?
Mm.
Especially for, like, races that can be facing low numbers and shit, you know what I mean? You don't really want your women going out and seeking this. You want to keep your numbers strong, so.
Okay. Well, moving on to a topic that affects both blacks and non-blacks. More than half of Ontario corner stores have been licensed to sell beer and wine as of next month.
Bro, the Spadina and Bloor 7-Eleven is about to be tizzy turned.
Bro, they're going to sell it at gas stations. A spokesperson for the AGCO confirmed to CTV News Toronto that as of August 12th, it had approved 3,866 convenience stores licenses, with about 42% of those licenses being for gas stations. That means that more than half of the approximately 6,700 convenience stores in Ontario are already licensed to sell beer, cider, wine, and ready-to-drink alcoholic beverages starting September 5th, the first Thursday after Labor Day weekend. Newly licensed grocery stores can begin selling the same alcoholic drinks to customers starting October 31st.
Yo, have you seen those videos of people running into the LCBO and like stealing as much alcohol as they can and just dashing out?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm actually kind of worried for certain convenience stores because they're going to need to hire extra security, bro.
I agree. Once you start selling alcohol and now you include like those buckets who just wander.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can come into your store unannounced, ready to risk it all for a beer.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I didn't think about the security aspect.
I lived in Montreal for a year, and out there is the same way. Like, you could get liquor anywhere, alcohol anywhere, you know what I mean? And it seemed pretty cool out there, but I feel like because they already had established it, like, it was kind of normalized. I feel like the first year is going to be wild, bro.
You think that's when we're going to see, like, the robberies and just...
Yeah, until they stealing. Figure out how to really get a handle on it, you know? Like, with anything... You have to kind of test it out, you know what I mean? And it's not like they could do a trial run, like, yeah, so we're going to see what happens, though.
Do you see yourself opting in to buy alcohol from convenience stores as opposed to the LCBO or beer store? Like, do you think that's something that would come in handy maybe when you're like, okay, like, it's a night out on the town. Yep. I don't want to go to LCBO. Let's just go to the convenience store.
Yeah, even if, like, sometimes you bring a shotty 11, 12 a.m. and you're like, everything's closed, no beer store. Go to the convenience store, 24 hours, you're lit, bro. Yeah, so, yeah, I think that is a good aspect of it because LCBO is very restricted in their times.
But I still think there are time limitations around the sale of alcohol. Like even, you know, bars and stuff, after a certain time, you're supposed to stop serving, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But if I'm a 24-hour convenience store, do I have to, like, lock up my alcohol after 2 o'clock?
Pretty much. That's what grocery stores do. Like, after a certain time, they don't sell alcohol.
Okay. I can see that. But even if you have until 2 a.m., that's still, like, way more time than you had before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fair. You had a couple topics for the man, them.
Yeah, let me see what I have here.
Big up Was the Sauce in the building.
A lie?
Behind the cam.
Okay. Bro, have you seen the Olympics?
I caught a few events from the Olympics.
Okay, I feel like the Olympics this year was a fucking shit show. Speaking of things being a shit show. Okay, bro, we'll start off with that Aussie woman. I wouldn't even call that dancing. She was having a seizure on stage.
The break dancer?
How did she get so far, dog? Like, how did she qualify, bro?
I like that that's the best they had in the country. That is my favorite part of that whole story. Is like, she was number one in her position at the country. Like,
I remember I seen a joke, like, in every competition, there should be, like a regular person doing it so we could see, like, when the pros do it, how good they really are.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was the perfect display of that. Because when I watched her and then I watched every other performer, I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, there was such a stark difference. Where if we just see all these amazing people, it's just kind of like,
Mm-hmm. But breakdancing being in the Olympics is a W.
Yeah, it's definitely a W for her. But now she's being super roasted, you know what I mean? Like, they're calling her that, have you seen that viral video of that that hip-hop teacher? She's like,
yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to, one and two, tip your hat, and now walk back like this. Make sure you bounce, guys. You know, it's just super cringy. This is like, holy f-. But how many black people are in Australia?
They probably have enough.
They couldn't just send an Yo, if they sent any, it would have been better. Like
the average black person?
Average black person. I am a horrible dancer, and I would still be better than her. I swear to God, bro.
So what you're saying is that the best white female breakdancer in Australia
is worse
than the average black woman in Australia.
I'll stand on that 10 toes, broski.
That's a fair argument. I mean, I did see her performance. It wasn't impressive.
Yo, when she, when the other person was performing, she's yawning and I'm like, oh, she's about to go crazy. And then she walks up. I'm like, oh, she's about to slap. She does like the warm-up moves.
Yeah,
hey, this is just a warm-up moves. Yo, she go on like she's about to do a flip. Then she fakes herself and then she just starts doing some bullshit. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy, dog.
Did you catch any other parts of the Olympics?
Yo, once they disrespected Jamaica, I boycotted that shit.
How did they disrespect Jamaica?
Yo, Paris was just a show, fam. They had, this is Shelly-Ann, I think it was her final Olympics. This was supposed to be her last hurrah, broski. She pulls up already. She goes to the gate. They tell her some bullshit. Like, oh, we changed the rules last minute. You actually have to walk around. She checks the map, how long the walk is. The walk is like an hour long, so she's going to miss the warm-up. And as a runner, first of all, you have to walk an hour, which is up your legs. And then you're missing your warm-up too, which is like, yo, I feel like that was a huge disrespecting. And the security there, should have just let them in? This is literally world-renowned athletes, bro. They did the same thing to Sha'Carri. But Sha'Carri, she missed out last year's Olympics because of the ganja thing. So she's like, I don't give a f- what I have to do. She missed the warm-up, walked the hour, and she still got second place, bro. So we have to big that up.
She's American, no?
Yeah, she's American.
Okay, so she didn't have an excuse. What's the Jamaican excuse I'm hearing right now? You guys are supposed to be the best in the world. You guys gave us Usain Bolt, bro.
We are the best in the world, and we have to be treated as such. Who the f***? You know what I mean? Sha'Carri, she has to prove herself. Shelly-Ann and all these, bro, they do not have to prove nothing to these Frenchies, bro, that be smoking cigarettes. Go to Canada. You know what I mean? Like, we are not on that, broski. We ain't proving shit to nobody. Like, we have, that's how I stand on it. And Jamaicans were very prideful people. So, Ransom, like, maybe God back me yard, man. You know, like, that's what we be saying, bro. Like, how many medals do I already have again? Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, but it's interesting because I'm pretty sure even, because Canada came first in the 4x100.
Big up, big up.
And I'm pretty sure some of those guys have Jamaican heritage anyways.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I'm saying? So
DeGrasse, right?
DeGrasse.
Big up, big up.
I think another guy as well, but I don't know. It felt weird, like, because when I was growing up watching the Olympics, like, it was always Jamaica at the track and field. Like, that's what you would honestly, like, tune in for.
Yeah.
Even non-Jamaicans, like, we were like, oh, shoot, like, you know, is this about to be a world record? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I feel like everything happens for a reason. Because Jamaica wasn't there, St. Lucia got number one. This was their first medal ever, and it was a gold. And yes, I'm saying because the Jamaican runners wasn't there, St. Lucia was able to get number one. But big up, same way. Yeah, just try to give us as much clips as possible. For
big up, St. Lucia. I have family that's St. Lucian.
Oh, for real, eh?
Yeah, one of my cousins married a St. Lucian guy.
Okay.
So they have kids. So they're like my cousins too, in a sense.
Yo, I wonder what that mix looks like.
They're beautiful kids, man.
Okay, shout out to them.
Shout out to the St. Lucians. And the Jamaicans, who didn't really perform well at Paris, but have a historical reputation.
Okay, speaking of not performing well,
ooh,
and having a historic reputation,
oh,
you said you did not like Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Oh, here we go.
Absurdity.
Okay, so where should we start? Because Waz hasn't seen it yet. It's only been 2 weeks.
It's only been 2 weeks. Should we do non-spoilers or should we just go? We could try non-spoilers.
Yeah, we'll do our best. Okay.
Well, have you heard about the cameos and like, you already know about, like, the big names that showed up.
Yeah, Waz, what do you know about it?
I haven't heard about the cameos in the movie, now.
Okay, here's what I'll say, okay? And I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not, like, the craziest fan of this universe, this type of movie, okay? Yeah. It's not my usual style. I'm more of a documentary comedy kind of guy, all right? So I'm watching it. I realize this guy, he breaks the fourth wall a lot. He does
That's his thing.
Yeah. So I realized that. He did it a lot in this movie, which at first it was funny. You know, he's like roasting Disney, who's funding this movie and all this stuff. But then it kind of got like, I didn't like how it would take you out of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Even though superhero movies are already unrealistic, I expect a little bit of realism. Bro, these guys do not die, bro. Like, dog, they're getting, like, I don't understand. They keep regenerating, and it's just, like, it's almost like all the action is entertaining and the graphics and all that stuff, but I feel like the actual dialogue and the plot are, like, pretty shallow, and, like, they try to disguise it with the actors, like, the people who they bring in, the graphics, and the action. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, it didn't feel like a complete movie. It was sick. You know what I'm saying? The audio was sick. The visuals were nice. But I just felt like, like it was like a mid movie. I gave it like a 6.5.
Okay, a 6.5 is crazy.
How would you describe it?
I'm not a comic guy. Mm-hmm. I am an MCU guy. You know what I mean? So I feel like this movie was like an ode to the 21st century Fox era of superhero movies. You know what I mean? Especially with all the cameos. So I feel like for the casual audience viewer, I could see why you would give it that because it wasn't really for that. This was more so like, okay, Marvel is in like a disastrous state right now. We need something to kind of like reset everything while also bringing in these new characters because like, okay, this isn't a spoiler, but obviously X-Men is being introduced into the MCU. You know what I mean? Through the previous movies as well. I'm not going to say which character is in, you know what I mean? So like, and obviously Wolverine, it's Deadpool and Wolverine. So obviously the X-Men are being introduced to the MCU. So like, I'm just saying as an homage and all the cameos and that was perfect. That was great for me. The jokes for the most part landed. That dog got kind of old towards the end. I wanted the dog to, I'm not going to lie, the dog needed to go.
Now shout out to the dog.
And I do agree with you where like, because the stakes are so low in the sense of like nobody dies except for like stupid side characters that we don't really care about, it's hard to really feel super invested in the characters. But I do love the fact that roasted the shit out of Disney, roasted the shit out of this multiverse crap, you know what I mean? But yeah, I would give it like an 8. You know what I mean?
8 out of 10?
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. But I also went with the shotty, you know what I mean? So like,
I went with a shotty too.
Okay, but I was giggly, you know what I mean? Like, we were in a good vibe. So I feel like that kind of also helped my perception of the movie. If I went alone, I would have been way more critical.
What do you mean you were giggly?
In the sense of like, when I watch movies alone, I'm analyzing it, you know what I mean? But when I'm with the shotty, like, I'm also paying attention to her. When she laughs, I'm making sure I laugh too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a set of good vibes. So I feel like for the dates and as an MCU fan, she was an MCU fan as well. It was lit. To the other girls that I'm talking to right now, like, he didn't bring me to no movie. You know what I mean?
The other day, I went to the movies with a girl for the first time in a while. Like, the movies kind of like fell off as a date unless it's like a Netflix and chill thing. Like, I don't know, nice. Going to the theaters. Yo, the tickets were like $45 after everything. And yo, the popcorn and stuff was like $45, bro.
Bro, the food prices are I bought two nachos, dog. It was like $20 each, bro. For nachos, like, it was like $18. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Buddy, it's cheaper at the airport.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. It's like Wonderland prices, bro. So make sure you have your little side bag. Go to Dollarama. Find the biggest chips you could find. Be that one guy in the movie theater. But I'm that guy, bro.
Yeah, but the popcorn, what? You're going to get that white cheddar popcorn?
Nah, I'm not a popcorn guy. I just get Miss Vicky's. You know what I mean? Get two ginger ales. And then I'm blessed. Beer belching.
Miss Vicky, sea salt and vinegar?
Yes, sir.
Same. I would have rated if you did the, what's that purple one? The barbecue one? Honey barbecue? That one's the best one.
Honey barbecue? No, for me, it's salt and vinegar or original.
Okay. Miss Vicky's is the chip of choice?
Yeah, that's my favorite. I used to love Doritos barbecue.
Yeah.
But like two, it's just too much.
Yo, you know what we should do? We should do those rate these chips without knowing the order.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm okay, you ready?
Oh, okay, okay, go for it.
Okay, Ruffles All Dressed.
Ruffles All Dressed, 3.
Okay, Doritos Sweet Chili Heat.
Are we doing 5?
Yeah.
Doritos Sweet Chili Heat, oh. 4.
Okay, Lay's Barbecue.
5.
Miss Vicky's Sea Salt 1. And Vinegar. Hot Cheetos.
Oh, God. 6.
Not a fan of Cheetos?
Not at all, bro. Soft, puffy, nah, cheesy.
How about the crunchy ones?
The crunchy ones are all right in a trail mix.
Okay.
In the trail mix, you know what I mean? Where it has like the pretzels.
Yeah. And the other- Yo, Nacho, the type of dude that, you know those ring chips? He actually puts them on his finger and eats them. Like, yo, you the type of dude. Like- This guy puts them on his fingers.
Bro, I used to have rockets,
yeah,
and treat them like I'm popping pills or something.
Like they're Zannies?
Like they're Zannies, bro. That is crazy.
I feel like I would do that with other candies too. Like I would pretend like licorice. You know, like those like red licorice?
Yeah.
I would pretend it's like a cigarette or something.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I would pretend to smoke it.
I would do that with the
even a Kit Kat, I might do that.
Well, yeah, the Popeyes candy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You guys would have talked about it in the comments. But speaking of GOAT lineups, Juvenile said Lil Wayne was the best rapper of all time. What is your top 5 lineup? And if Eminem is in there, we are shutting the podcast off right now.
Sorry to all my white fans. Okay, top 5.
I'm joking. I don't want to influence your list.
Okay, are we saying just these are the greatest rappers of all time? This isn't my favorite. Okay, this isn't your favorite. Like, we're saying greatest.
Okay, we'll do 2 lists.
Okay.
Favorite and greatest. Are we doing lyricism or just all-around rappers?
Rappers.
Like all-around.
All-around.
Everything included.
Everything included.
Okay. Who's going first?
Okay, number one. Okay, I'm going to go in order. Okay. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z is number one.
For me, yeah, in terms of greatest, in terms of...
Greatest in the world.
Lyricism, album sales, marketing, music. I'll say Jay-Z all time.
Okay.
At number 2. Ooh... It's hard for me to say Biggie or Tupac because they didn't have long careers, you know, but I think their impact.
I was about to say impact.
Do I want to say Biggie at number 2?
Biggie at number 2 is kind of crazy, though.
Get back to me. You start your list because I need to think.
Okay, okay. Do I want to consider Kanye West a rapper?
He's my favorite artist of all time, just in general, but I wouldn't consider him like a rapper in that sense.
But like he raps.
He does rap.
And he raps phenomenally in some songs.
He's a good rapper.
You know what I mean? Mayonnaise Cutter Benz, I post Miracle Whips. Jesus Christ. Okay.
He did say that.
Okay. Jesus. Okay. All right, listeners, let's get to it. Number 1, Kanye Mother West. Number 2, Tupac. Number 3, Lil Wayne. Number 4, do I want to put Jay-Z or Drake? Number 4, Jay-Z. Number 5, Drake. Honorable mentions, I'm going to say Kendrick Lamar, KRS-One, Big L.
Okay. So I have Jay-Z at number 1.
Yeah. Also Nas, honorable mention.
Nas, funny enough, is my number 2.
Okay, okay.
But I really like Nas, but that's more of like a conscious kind of thing. Okay, so Jay-Z.
So these are our personal lists, right?
No, this is the greatest of all time still for me.
Okay, okay, okay.
Me too. Number three. This is going to be a little controversial, but 50 Cent.
Oh, I like that.
I'm going to put 50 Cent up there. I'm going to put Drake up there.
Oh, Snoop Dogg too.
I was gonna mention Snoop Dogg because, like, you can't not mention him. Yeah. In terms of the Mount Rushmore, but at number five, I want to put Redman or Method Man because I rock.
Bro,
with
it's not
music.
A personal list.
Okay. Yes. 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 You know, Eminem. I'm putting Eminem. Yes.
That's for a non-personal list. I understand.
Yeah.
For a non-personal, I understand.
Because, like, you can't not mention him in terms of significant rappers.
Exactly.
He didn't have too many club tracks. That's the only problem with Eminem. I feel like he didn't have too many songs that resonated with black culture.
The way you shake it, I can't believe it.
Nah, he had, I think the only, there's only a few Eminem songs that black people rock with.
Boing, boing, boing.
What are the Eminem songs that black people rock with?
Lose Yourself. We actually rock with Smack That. We rock with Superman.
How about Stan?
Yeah, Stan. Even Ass Like That. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of the songs that be ringing off in Jamaica and shit.
How about Shake That Ass For Me?
You know, I don't even know that track. Oh, White Trash Party. Vibes Cartel did a remix to that.
White Trash Party. Yeah, That's a sick track. That was in Project X.
Oh, yes, it was.
That's how I heard that song.
Should we do personal list or?
Personal list. I'm going to put Eminem up there for sure for me. 50 Cent as well. Kanye West. Redman, Black Thought. Used to be Mos Def, but then I found out he was like a bucket. And it kind of ruined the music for me a little bit. When I found out about his like Toronto story, how like he came here, he was popping beans and then married a girl while he was married in the States.
Mos Meth. That's crazy. Okay, I'd say my did you say your five?
Yeah.
I'd say, okay, Kanye, Drake, Kendrick. I'm just trying to think of people who I listen to the most.
Yeah, I didn't put Drake, but like that's a given.
Yeah, okay. So Kanye, Drake, Kendrick, Kodak, and I'd say Future for number five.
No, water.
Yeah, I'd say Future for number five.
Future, eh? I don't think I would put any, thank you. I don't think I would put any like new rappers up there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of who I listen to the most, you know?
Okay. Who would you say influenced you the most in terms of dancehall?
Oh, dancehall, definitely Vibes Cartel and Alkaline still. Rap, Kanye West, biggest influence ever. Like, as a youth, I was dressing like this, bro. When this guy was wearing skirts and shit, remember, I used to take my plaid shirt, tie it around my waist and shit. Walk around like it's a kilt, bro. Are you crazy, dog?
Oh, jeez.
That was a golden era with the leather sweatpants. That was a golden era, bro. Kanye with the stutter shades.
I knew you were the type to wear the stutter shades.
Hell yeah, bro. In elementary, I thought I was yay, bro. With the scarf and scarf. Dog. Next level aura, bro.
Did you see his music video for Fried?
Yeah, I did. Fire.
Yeah, it was sick, eh?
It was actually dope.
Sick concept.
A lot of people didn't like his album. I was going through it, and I'm like, people are bugging, bro. Like me, I love art in any form, you know what I mean? Whether it be, like, painting, film, music, etc. So, like, Kanye has always given us evolving art, dog. When he dropped Pablo, man will go back, tweak a song, add this, take away that. Same with Donda. So people are like, oh, why is this music unfinished? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yo, even when it's unfinished, it's still hard. And he's still going back and adding this and that. I'm like, this is evolving art. And what other rapper is doing this?
Kanye has been able to reinvent himself constantly. Like, it's never just a one-time thing. He's constantly rebranding. Yeah. And I think that's what's kind of kept him relevant. Like, he had so many different eras, and you can clearly see it. You can clearly hear it. It's almost like when you hear Kanye, you remember what type of swag he was rocking in that era. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like the College Dropout. Then you had like the more evolved, like the 808s and Heartbreak. Yeah. A little more
fancy.
Where he
was like the Japanese with the graduation. And
yeah.
What was your favorite Kanye era?
Ooh.
Okay, Was, shout out to cameraman Was. Make sure you guys link him for all your music videos and everything. He says 808s and heartbreaks. Okay, wow. For me, I'm going to say Yeezus. A lot of people hate that album and hate that era, but oh, the rebellion going against the system. And that was like right when I was like grade 12, first year university. So I was in that mindset of like rage against the machine type, you know? So.
Okay. For me, okay, it's a toss up because 808s and Heartbreak was really good. You know what I'm saying? And I remember it was just so game-changing. It was so different at the time. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is my favorite Kanye album.
The greatest album of all time.
It's just, I can listen to it to this day, starting from the first song with the Nicki Minaj intro all the way through. The production is crazy. The bars are crazy. But my introduction to Kanye for real was Graduation, because that's the first album that I bought with like my own money. And I remember just being so inspired as like a good you know, when you're not in the streets, but like you're still like into hip hop.
Yeah,
it was just perfect. But I think my favorite and the best era is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay. That's fair.
You know, it's hard to argue against the album. It's exactly. Like probably his magnum opus.
My introduction to Kanye West, this is the last thing I'll say, because we're having a glaze-a-thon right now, holy. But I just remember, okay, this is when College Dropout first came out. I remember walking home from school, entering the crib, and my dad had that album on full blast, bro. And I didn't know what I was experiencing, but it was literally the best music I had ever heard in my life, bro. I remember my dad used to be like driving us, blasting the album and shit. And I'm like, yo, like even all the skits.
Oh, I'll go see you again, bro.
Perfect.
I've been working this slave shift,
and I ain't made. I wish I could buy me a spaceship and fly. Oh my god, bro, that is crazy. I'm trying to see what else. Okay, since we're talking about music, you know what I mean? They would say now Kanye is making some free music. Buju Banton said that right now all the African artists them are making free music.
Okay, define free music.
He's saying that they're not making anything to liberate Africa. He's saying that the predecessors, the Afrobeat artists, not the Afrobeats artists, the original artists were singing songs to liberate the people. Right now, they say, like, I think Kenya is going through it crazy. Congo is going through it crazy. I'm only saying it like this because I don't have as much stats as I did for the Canadian. You know what I mean? But look it up, bro. It's terrifying. You know what I mean? Like, so as an Afrobeats artist, are you obligated to kind of, like, speak on these injustices in your music? Are you obligated to, like, try to decolonize your people? Or is it lit party time?
I think it's lit capitalism time. because I think you'd have to pose the same question to hip hop artists who aren't speaking on injustices. At one point, I think people just want entertainment. The best is when you have an entertaining piece of content that's also thought provoking and intelligent. You
but
know?
Why don't we have that in any form, know what I mean? Other than reggae. But reggae is like a diminishing art form right now.
There are other genres or in other languages where they have songs that are about political rebellion or discussing oppression and stuff, and they're actually bangers. You know what I'm saying?
But I would say right now, is conscious music put to the forefront?
I don't think so.
And do you think that's an intentional effort by the powers that be? Or is it just because the people, and I don't agree with you when you say the people don't want conscious music, because like Tupac made conscious music, you know what I mean? And Kendrick makes conscious music. And
like, I didn't say people don't want conscious music. I just think if you want to make money, people want to be more so entertained. That's why you have to do it simultaneously. Like you have to do conscious music that is entertaining. You can't just do conscious music for the sake of consciousness. You can do that. And it's respectable, but you can't expect people to bump it. At the end of the day, the music has to sound good, whether it's conscious or not.
I agree. And I feel like he don't have to only make conscious music. Like, there should be a balance. But I do feel like the skills are completely lopsided. The labels are only hiring the free artists. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at all the rappers that came out in, like, the last 5 years, which one of these have any substance, bro? Shout out to Ye. But when I listen to his music, it's like the song he has with Drake. It's like, the man just doesn't give a and, like, that is the message. You know what I mean? Sexy Red. We don't even need to speak on that message. So, like...
What about Glorilla?
That's free.
But you don't think she's, like, a good rapper?
Being a good rapper doesn't mean you have substance. You know what I mean? Like, I could be spitting bars about, like... You know, like Kanye says, when he's talking about fucking girls in the asshole and getting bleach on his shirt and shit, you know what I mean?
I might
like,
turn to...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Everyone loves those bars, but it's free.
I feel you. And I do think reggae was that genre that it was intended to kind of spark your mind as well as like soothe your soul. You know what I'm saying? Like the frequencies that you get from a reggae song are unmatched compared to the new age frequencies that we hear with like 808s and the new drum patterns and stuff. Like the actual vibe it creates is totally different. And it'd be cool to kind of bring that back where it's like positive, happy music, you know what I'm saying? Or positive music that's more conscious. It doesn't have to be positive. It could be talking about oppression and negative things too.
And the reason why I speak about the powers that be controlling music is because if you look at the move that just happened with Atlantic Records, Atlantic Records, literally one of the three main staple heads in music, right, Ally? So basically, I think, okay, so Grange, who does Drake talk about? Elliot Grange is the son. Who's the dad again? Yeah, yeah, look it up. Okay, basically, Mr. Grange, who owns Universal Music, the guy who Drake is always talking about in his music, who's making these deals and his son,
Lucian.
Yes, Lucian Grange or whatever, right? His son, look up his son, Elliot Grange. Mm-hmm. He had a label that had like Ice Spice, Tekashi 6ix9ine, all these people on it. Basically, Atlantic needed a new figurehead. And instead of getting, you know, Lyles and all these people that have been Atlantic for so long, there's been so many black A&Rs that have been putting in pain for like 20 years. Instead of that, he draws for his son, which is fine. We love nepotism out here. But now we have one family literally owning 2/3 of the music industry. That is a monopoly issue. You know what I mean? Like, that means your agenda, your ideologies, that is being put forth in the music. Like, what diversity is going to come from music being from one source? You know what I mean?
So you think that the fact that there's too much monopoly, do you think that's what's kind of affecting the music? Is that it's being controlled by the same powers?
Yeah.
It's not diversified enough?
If you look at the inception of hip-hop, who had a message were able to get their message out. You know what I mean? What message could you get out today, bro?
That's true. I mean, you could still go the independent route, which I have been seeing on Instagram and TikTok.
You can, but that only takes you so far, you know? Like, and I'm not saying... To be on a worldwide scale, you have to go through that machine. Literally, that's just what it is, you know?
Yo, so here are some notable artists signed to 10K Projects, which is currently run by the son of Lucian Grange, Elliot Grange. Trippy Red, Ian Dior, Peachtree Rascals, Ice Spice, Rich Amiri, 6ix9ine, Internet Money, and some other names with so, the MC.
Those are some good artists on there. But which of those artists had such impact where we're going to say, yo, you know what? We need you to run Atlantic Records right now because Atlantic Records is going through a slump. We need you to spearhead Cardi B. Who else is at Atlantic? Kodak Black. All the major artists. Yeah, we need you, Mr. Elliot Grange, who only discovered Ice Spice and shit, 6ix9ine. Like, who of these guys have had such notable careers, you know? Like,
so Ice Spice is hot right now, though. Do you think she's still hot?
She's simmered down a bit, but she's still hot, definitely, both literally and figuratively. But yeah, bro, it's just crazy. Wow, so much, does this show how much time we've been running so far?
We're at an hour and 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
yeah, we put in some pain today. I don't know. We were supposed to have May Millions come on the show, but she flopped, which I'm a little upset about. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to hold it over her, but we did consume some May Millions content in preparation to interview her.
Yeah, yeah.
We were watching all these IG lives and listening to her music. Yeah, I want to
get that time back, so it's all
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we need that time back still.
It's all good. She's a baddie same way. I didn't mind looking at her.
Yeah, no, she's a beautiful woman, and her music's not bad. It would be nice to interview her, but now I'm like, I don't know, you know?
Her music was all right. It didn't do anything for me personally.
It didn't move you, eh?
She has a nice voice, though. That first track, she didn't have no energy, though.
She got better as, like, her more recent track better.
Exactly.
Natural, man, is there anything you want the people to know before we end this episode?
Looking at my list here. Shout out Cass. I think that's her name. She was recently freed.
Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, so... Okay, we're gonna segue into this because we were supposed to talk about this last time, but we didn't. So Simply Cass, who was formerly on Players Play podcast.
Free at last. She's freed from the shackles of that dungeon.
So what have you gathered in your research?
Okay, basically, shout out Relentless Diaries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I started watching that podcast like, because I'd be hating sometimes, you know. I was hate watching, but I'm like, oh, this is actually good. So I actually watched her weekly now, you know.
Okay.
So they had Cass on, and she kind of explained a little bit. She didn't go too much in detail, but like her departure from Players Play podcast. And basically, she was just saying how like she had a little bit of an argument with the guy. It was basically her and the guy that co-host Players Play.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess they had a little bit of an argument. So she just woke up one morning. And she was blocked on everything. He removed, you know what I mean, her like name, and but he kept all the clips of her because the clips then were doing good. So he didn't remove that though. But like, yeah, she was just explaining how all this came from left field. Now he's doing his own thing, and like it's just like another one bites the dust. You know what I mean?
There has to be something deeper at play, because if you have a partnership with someone or a working relationship where you've been doing this podcast for months, you're not just going to end it without a conversation. You're not just going to end it like block them and never do a podcast with them again. Yes. You know, you're going to have to be like, okay, we're not doing the podcast anymore. Yeah.
She said that. She said it's smoke. I'm like, oh,
we got to get her on here.
Yeah, we should try it still. She's freed from the dungeon, bro. You know why I say she's freed from the dungeon? Because that was recording in his garage. Holy broski. Beer echoes. Bro, imagine you doing your podcast and the garage door is open. Your dad's trying to drive the car. give us 10 more minutes, pa.
Yo. You snapped. So wait, how are you so sure that he was recording in his garage? Did she mention that?
She said it.
She said it?
She said it, bro. I'm like, I'm not exposing anything.
Wait, why'd she say it?
Because she's cheesed.
So she said it like in a petty way where it's like, and he records in his garage?
Type.
I gotta see this clip.
When I drop something, it's gonna be like proper. Like, you guys have a great setup thing going on here. You know, I wasn't gonna come in. Whereas other podcasts, no shade. Like, I see, like, yes, I know you're doing this literally in your garage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not feeling that. You know? So it's like, I want it to be like, you know, I want to set myself up where it's coming out. I'm coming off like, you know, it's gonna reflect me. And I feel like I'm a put together person. I wouldn't just put out anything. Like,
bro, after this, I'll show you. It's jokes.
Okay, dog. So what's your advice to Players Play, the podcast? And what's your advice to Cass?
I don't have no advice to Players Play. I hope their podcast crashes and burns. However, to Cass, you are a beautiful woman. You have an amazing spirit, and you're Fab Vibes Cartel. So greatness is in your blood. You got this, sister. We're all rooting for you. You know what I mean? Keep going, baby.
Okay. Do you feel like you might potentially see some sort of romantic interest in a woman like Cass?
Relax. She is a black queen, and I always support all my black sisters. You know what I mean?
So you wouldn't go on a date with her?
She is beautiful. I'm not going to say that, like, if the opportunity presented itself, I wouldn't explore it. But at this current opportunity, I am not like trying to seek her out type shit, you know?
Right now you're just bigging her up, is what you're saying.
I'm just bigging her up.
And you're saying you hope Players Play Podcast crashes, you said?
Yeah, and burns.
Don't forget the burns. Do you want to explain why you have this view of Players Play?
Not yet. Because people might say I'm petty. So for now, just imagine the worst thing possible, and that's the reason.
All right. Well, where can we find you on social media?
You can find, as I say every episode, don't try to find me if you hated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you are sending love and positivity, you can find me at djnatural.wave on all platforms.
Okay. You can find me at DJZarTV as well as at BurrowSoundTV. Make sure you follow those accounts. Comment, like, and subscribe to the channel. Until next time, man, thank you for tuning in to The Wave and The Muzzy. If you made it this far, we rate you. We think you're a good person and you deserve some type of reward. Not right now. I'm just saying in general.
All
right,
dog.
You guys like, are we doing a giveaway?
All right. Thank y'all so much.